That is brilliant. That is brilliant. I still put on that.
That's why I didn't want to tell you before we did
oh,
it.
Oh, you're great.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Botan. How are you, mate?
It's actually pronounced Botan, Bradley. Botan.
Can I just say we are recording this on a Monday, as we normally do,
yep.
And it is a very happy birthday to you, my man.
Oh, thank you very much. Yep. I've caught up to you now, both 50 at least. But let's get on with the show. We've got a fabulous guest, which I'm going to let you do the intros because we like to make sure that the basketball listening public know who our officials are.
Yeah,
correct. The people are running our sports. So far away.
Correct. And I've been looking forward to it. I'm going to give a bit of history there. So the person we're bringing to you today is actually the head of the WNBL, and we've obviously loved the WNBL and do a lot of talking and what we've done over the podcast over the number of years. And recently we did a good one with Tess Madgen, and this person branched out to me and said, look, you know, loving the pod and love to have a chat. And she's new to this role in the head of the WNBL. And when Boddy and I sat down and spoke about it, we were like, this is something we definitely want to do. Yeah. I, for one, am very interested to know what the role entails and how she came about it. So let me introduce Christy Collier-Hill. Christy, thank you so much for coming on. We're very excited to have you.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for the nice warm welcome. Happy to be here and happy to chat with you both.
Well, the first thing I'd like to know, probably the public would like to know, is your backstory. Before we get to this role as head of the WNBL, like, how did you come to it? Are you a basketball player? You know, what's your backstory in the sport, if you have one?
Yeah, no, definitely have one. So I have come across to the role as head of WNBL from the Melbourne Boomers. So I was general manager at the Melbourne Boomers just under about 3 years there with those guys. I'm a basketballer from way back, you guys. I was involved in the CAPS program in 97, 98, showing my age back in the day. So basketball definitely.
When you say CATS, you mean Geelong Supercats? CATS, is that what you mean?
No, CAPS.
Oh, CAPS.
Capitals, Brad, jeez.
Capitals. Oh, so you're just down the road in Canberra. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, awesome. Born and bred in Queanbeyan, just outside of Canberra. So,
wow.
Yeah, part of the CAPS for a couple of years there. Played all my basketball in Canberra. Sports management and sports administration is my background. So I've spent some time in golf. I've spent some time in the fitness industry. And then an opportunity came up to work in basketball with the Melbourne Boomers. So I absolutely grabbed that with both hands. And as I said, spent nearly 3 years there. Absolutely love my time at the club. I think they are a great club. I think they're very forward thinking. They're on a growth trajectory. They have a great business model and some great people working behind the scenes. And then opportunity came up with this head of the WNBL role. And I kind of joke with people and say, I've jumped to the dark side. I know, look, I've been on the other side. I know BA bashing is a national pastime. And I'm fully aware of, you know, coming in with open eyes and what I'm kind of walking into. But I'm very, very passionate about the WNBL. I'm very passionate about seeing it grow and seeing it be successful. And you know what? I thought I could just continue to sit on the other side and BA bash and go, I wish they were doing this and I wish they were doing that. Or I could put my hand up and have a crack at making it better. So that's what I've done. And I don't have all the answers and I'm 4 weeks in, so still a long way to go. But, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Well, that's why you're on here, because we have all the answers. So don't worry.
Right. Awesome.
So that's fine. So, look, I mean, I can feel the passion coming through you already.
Yeah.
And that's fabulous. So talk to me when you're at Melbourne Boomers and this job became available, and just so we're clear, you're actually employed by Basketball Australia, who run the WNBL, correct?
That's right.
And when you're sitting there thinking, right, I'm about to leave the Boomers, who are a fantastic program, I completely agree with you, and going to Basketball Australia, what was your mindset? You said, you know, I've heard all the haters and all these things. What did you think of Basketball Australia before you got there?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I mean, like I said, I was kind of part of it on the other side. I think there's a lot of criticism for a lot of things, some of it right, some of it wrong. I mean, you guys have been around basketball for long enough. It's been going on forever. I think there's some things they've done really well, and I think there's some things that need to be done much better. And I think you can't change everything, but certainly I can come in and have a crack at making some of those things better and making some changes and, you know, bringing the league up to where it needs to be. We've fallen behind so far from other women's breastboarding leagues over the years for a number of reasons, but we've got to make some big steps to start to catch up, and then we've got to make some big steps to be the best in the country in those women's pro leagues. So what did I think of Basketball Australia? Look, they did some things well and they did some things not so well. And I think, to be very honest, I think, like most organisations, you're pretty aware of your shortcomings. And I think there is a...
If you're not, you're certainly made aware of them, yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely. Exactly. If you're not aware, everyone else will make you aware. Yep. So, you know, hang on, guys. I've just lost my earphones. They're doing some things, I suppose, a little differently to at the moment to make some change, and bringing myself in a full-time role as head of the WNBL is one of those things. And then, you know, we can talk a bit about what that looks like, you know, moving forward as well, and how that's going to roll out.
Well, that's the question I've got for you. As head of the WNBL, what power do you have? Like, what are you, like Commissioner Collier-Hill? You know, like, are you running the show? Or do you have to answer to somebody? Like, can you make decisions that are strongly influential in the direction of the WNBL, or do you still have to go back and talk to, I don't know, Paul Maley or Mark Queen? Are you autonomous?
Look, I've been brought in to do that, to have some views. And when I say views, they're data-based and data-driven views about how we can do things differently. And I absolutely have, power is not the right word. I have the ability to say, I think we should go in this direction. We should go in this direction. But I would never, in any role that I'm in, do anything without consultation. And whether that is internal consultation with, you know, Paul and Mark, who are both very experienced and administrators around the WNBL, or the WNBL Commission, which is, you know, certainly a part of the governance structure of the league with representatives from each of the teams. And if you're looking at something at a higher strategic level or a strategic change, it would absolutely be consultation and discussion with that group. If it's operational, you know, I might reach out to the general managers of each of the clubs and have a bit of a chat around what that looks like. And a good example of that would be, you know, I've been here 4 weeks. I think we've had two fixture changes in that time. Getting down to that kind of nitty-gritty level, which is, I'll just pick up the phone and call all the GMs and say, hey, this is the issue, here's what we're facing, what's your view on this, get their views, and then make a decision about how we move forward with it. So yes, there is absolute authority, and power is not the right word, but there is ability to make decisions, but they would never be made individually. They would definitely be made with consultation.
Well, as you would know, I've been a staunch supporter from the WNBL since even before it began, and that I'm currently completely out of love with it.
I have totally
disillusioned, particularly with this season, maybe a little bit of last season, but certainly with this season, some of the things that have gone on. And okay, we could take you back through the whole Canberra Capitals, Sydney Flames pre-season, the whole thing with Paul Gorris and Simon Kozier, the referee. But if you say you've only been around 4 weeks, I'm not going to throw that on you or throw you under the bus on that, because that happened well before you came in. But during the last 4 weeks, Southside Flyers forfeited a game. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the penalty for that? I mean, surely, if this is the strongest women's basketball league in this country, then it's on a par in terms of what it provides for those sports women with what the AFL provides for the top footballers or the NRL. If we want to take the league seriously, then you've got to say, okay, that's what it is. Now, can you imagine an NRL, an AFL team saying, so we're forfeiting? What you're forfeiting? What the hell is that? Now, what is the penalty for that for Southside? Are they getting fined $100,000? Are they just losing games? Like, how are they allowed to forfeit a game?
I mean, there's a lot of elements to that question. Would it happen in any other pro league in the country? No, it wouldn't.
No. Well, then how is it possible?
What's the current rule for a team that forfeit in the WNBL is that you would have seen, they lose their points, that's a given one. They're fined $5,000. That's the current rules of the WNBL for a team that forfeits. Now, I know you laugh, and I've had a bit of a giggle at it myself. That will be reviewed and changed in the off-season, because if you look at other leagues, other codes and other leagues around the world, there's much harsher penalties, and it might be that it is a much stronger financial penalty and points from the next season that you lose if you opt to forfeit a game. So there's no doubt in my mind that the penalty is too low, and that's something that's on the cards for review post-season. There's a lot of elements around that particular forfeit, and you know, to be very honest, there's circumstantial things. I think you're aware there were some Opals coming back that got held back.
And all of it.
So they were down to, you know, kind of seven or eight players. We did really try and work with them around rescheduling, which was unable to do in the current fixture. We also, you know, we spoke to them about what can we do to make the game happen, and for their own reasons, which I do understand, but that was the choice. And so I think from a league perspective, it's disappointing. I did understand it. You wouldn't see it in any other league. So how that is addressed moving forward, it's got to change.
You see, Christy, hang on a second, Brad. I just want to follow up on this if I can. You see, Christy, that's the thing that bugs me the most about the WNBL and has done NBA for quite some time, is that it's always like, oh, this problem's come up and we're bound by this particular pissant rule that we had 20, 30 years ago when they were all club teams and no one had any money, so that's your fine, there's going to be five. Then there was no profit. There's been no updating of anything. And all we ever hear is that, oh, we're bound by this, or we're like the independent hearing or investigation or panel, whatever the hell it was, on that Sydney Canberra issue that we've discussed in the past. It's like, why are we beholden to some independent? Why can you not run your own competition, look at a situation and say, that is wrong or that is unacceptable and this is the penalty? You know, like, that's what I'm saying. How much power do you have to actually do anything? Or is it all just, we've all got to sit around the table and hold each other's hands and sing Kumbaya and have a Lamington drive?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a very good question. And the answer to the first part of that around the forfeiting is that there could be, so the rules say, I can't recall it word for word, but, you know, there is a loss of game, there is a $5,000 fine, and I think it says something like, and any other fine or sanction that the league determines appropriate. So there is an opportunity. So if myself or somebody else in a role would say, oh, I think they should be fined, I don't know, 50 grand, I'm just plucking a number out of the air, that could be put forward for consideration. Now, that won't happen in this case. And the reason being is because of the circumstances around it and the fact that they had three Australian Opals who were at the time, you know, representing our country and held back and so on. So circumstances have to be taken into consideration. Absolutely. I don't really want to go into the Goris thing and the independent commission, the independent structure around that. I've still got a bit of learning to do around that, guys, in terms of how that process works. I do understand it, you know, from how it is actually there, but I really need to probably delve a bit deeper into that before I can probably make comment on how that looks.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, you said you've been in the job 4 weeks, so I'm not going to take you back there. Yeah. But what I do want to say about that, though, is that now Canberra have been given a gold ticket, a gold pass, because that game realistically should have been taken off them. In a league that is not beholden to some independent panel that says, oh no, him watching video of Sydney Flames, that didn't influence the result. You know, how do you arrive at that? Then why do you even look at the video? Anyway, sorry, don't want to keep harping on that. But like, so they get, that's a game that should have been taken off them. Now, the Opals are away. WNBL decides we're going to play through that. We don't care. A team that's semi-devastated by that is Southside. Another team that's pretty hard hit is Adelaide Lightning. Two teams that are not hit at all are the Canberra Capitals and the Bendigo Spirit. So why not play two teams that are at full strength against each other and the two teams that are at half strength against each other when you concoct this element of the draw? No, instead, Bendigo comes into Adelaide and beats a half strength Adelaide, and Canberra gets a second game, like a second charity win, by playing Southside when they're at half strength. Now Southside have a forfeit against Canberra. So that's three wins that Canberra have that they've got under false pretenses, really. I'm talking about the integrity of the competition. This team will make the playoffs, possibly win the championship, and it's got three wins that have just been handed to them. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I hear the passion in your voice about it, and I mean, if they win the championship, they've got to win it. They've got to beat, you know, the other teams that are in the finals. So that's a totally
separate element. Yeah, but they've got three games. They've been given three wins. You know, like I'm looking at the Adelaide Bendigo game. Bendigo comes in here and beats Adelaide at half strength. Adelaide goes back to Bendigo at full strength and leads them 30-0, Christy. 30-0. That's the biggest single run of any game in the history of the WNBL. I think Adelaide was a little bit miffed. They were miffed.
Definitely an interesting quarter. look, let me share with you some context behind some of this stuff, because I feel like, and again, probably it's, you know, lack of communication, but there was no intent at the start of the season for the WNBL to play through the FIBA window. There was always going to be a break in that period. And as you guys know, throughout the start of the season, the severe impact of COVID, which I think was 16 games, I think it was, that were delayed or postponed or moved or whatever it was. So the clubs came together and the clubs and the league together discussed about how the season looked and how it was going to finish. It's important that it does finish. There are a number of factors about why games were played in that FIBA window, but one of the really big ones was, and clubs were very big on this, is that clubs needed to play. They need to play games. They need to play home games so that they can satisfy, you know, corporate partners, government partners. They need to be in front of their fans and in front of their members. So I think in an ideal world, clubs and the league, we definitely wouldn't be playing in that window. It's not ideal. It's far, far from ideal. But the circumstantial side around it was that COVID had impacted things so severely that teams were willing and wanting to play through that period to get to a number of games at the end of the season, you know, whether that was a minimum of 14, 16, 18, however that kind of rolls out. So that's one side of it. So, and then the other side, if you're looking at why don't you just play the, you know, the teams unaffected and the teams with two out versus the teams with two out, again, in an ideal world, that would absolutely be how you do it. But the reality of how the season has rolled out just didn't allow for it. And look, I'm not intricately involved in the fixturing, but I'm getting across it now that I've been in here. And, you know, every team's got to play each other a number of times. The way the season started without Perth in it meant, for example, that the three teams in Victoria had already played each other three times. So they can't play each other. So and again, it's kind of irrelevant to the Adelaide Bendigo scenario. But I suppose my point is that it's not just as simple as saying we'll play these guys with these guys, because there's a whole lot of factors that go into it around number of games played, venue availability, travel, a whole lot of factors. So I think if it was that simple, it would have happened.
I'm not sure.
It's just not that simple, guys. It's really not. Look, I was like you. I would be on the other side going, why didn't this happen?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just understand it a bit better.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to come in as the referee here. I've got to break you two up, all right? So I'm going to come in as the referee. Brad, just by the way, hi, Chrissy, I'm Brad. I just wanted to let you know that I'm nice to meet you. I'm going to ask you, we had Alex Cipitone on our pod a couple of weeks ago, and she was absolutely lovely, and I assume you listened, but if you didn't, one of the things that was very apparent is the mental health state of players. Mm-hmm. Now, as the head of the NBL, I'm sure that's a huge agenda. I'd love to know, I mean, I don't want this to sound awful when I say this, I don't know how much you can do about it. I mean, the situation is you've got to try and control a league, and to control a league, you can't go back to Perth. Then obviously it's different now. What was the discussions with you guys? Did it break your heart hearing that? Because it did for us. What does the NBL think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I came in just towards the tail end of that, I suppose, that period for the Perth Lynx. And, you know, there's a few things with that. I think, first of all, the league and all of the teams in it were hugely appreciative of what they did for the WNBL, being away from home for that period of time, which I think ended up being about 5 weeks in the end, was a big sacrifice for all of them. And, you know, I jumped on a couple of calls when I first started and heard from them, and you could see it, you know, it was a really hard thing for them. From a league perspective, in terms of working with the Perth team, certainly, you know, from when I started, but I know also before I started, was they worked very closely with management. Management from the Perth Lynx had put some measures in place to support the mental health of that group that was on the ground and travelling. So the constant connection and communication from administration from the Perth Lynx to administration of the league was happening. And then I don't know, I can't speak to before when I started, but I've literally been on the phone, probably not so much in the last week. I was on the phone to the administration of the Perth Links, I'm going to say every single day, for probably the first 2.5 weeks that I commenced. Yeah. And we're talking about a whole range of things, but we absolutely committed to working with them to support the club, to support the athletes, to support the people behind it. And I did listen to the Alex podcast, and I was, you know, I suppose a bit, you know, it's interesting to hear some of the things she shared and their kind of how they viewed it. And it certainly was not the intent of things. And I know that, well, certainly know since I've started, the relationship that we as the league have with Perth administratively has been nothing but consistent and professional. And, you know, I certainly commend the people that I work with there, you know, on a direct basis. And I mean, that's all I can really share with that. I've only got the back half of it from my perspective.
Yeah, look, it's very hard, and I can understand, because you got, you know, like she's saying, you know, you go into a room every night and another girl's crying. You know what I mean? And it's just heartbreaking. But I'm not saying that can be a control from you guys. That's really the life of everything. Really, yeah. Everyone's controlled now, you know what I mean? And it's certainly not the only sport. But it's really hard. I'm going to ask one more question, and then I'll throw it at body. And I'm sort of going back a little bit. When you were coming into this role, what was the main focus that BA said to you, we want you to focus on? Or was it fix this rabble?
Well, where do I start? it's pretty interesting, actually. In a couple of interviews I had, and then I kind of took it upon myself to have conversations with other people in and around the league and BA, and talk about, hear from them what they think, and also share with them what I would say my priorities are coming into the role. There's a lot of things that there's a lot of areas for growth, is the politically correct way to say it. There are a lot of things that need attention. But from my mind, where I've come into it, there's a couple of key focus areas in the immediacy. So the first one is broadcast. The broadcast deal, as it currently stands, is only this current season, and it finishes at the end of season. So again, I'm only in 4 weeks, but started working on that a couple of weeks ago, and we'll kind of ramp that up in the next couple of weeks to what that looks like. And again, everything I do in WNBL, I try and do with a growth mindset. So bigger and better next year is the aim, and exactly how that looks, I couldn't tell you right now, but it needs to be bigger and better. And look, I mean, we've got every game broadcast live at the moment. That's great. There's a whole lot of things that can be improved around that broadcast. We, you know, we can have more games on free to air. There's a whole lot of stuff. So,
we
could do another podcast about that. So there are a lot of areas for improvement on that, but that's definitely a focus. An immediate focus is that broadcast space. And the second immediate focus is the commercial state of the league. As you're pretty aware, there's no naming rights sponsor this current season. So there is, again, huge opportunity for growth and huge necessity for it, to be very honest.
So what you're saying is you're in the role for 35 years is really what you're coming
from. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's scary. That's really scary that you haven't got a naming rights sponsor. Now, I can go back to 1988 when the Opals made the bronze medal playoff at the Seoul Olympics, and this was the moment. Everyone was saying, we're going to cash in. Here we go. We've got a national league that's already 7-8 years old. This is almost a decade before you played. So, and BA was going to do great things, and nothing has happened. This is what scares the hell out of me. You haven't got a naming rights sponsor. We now have, you know, the women's cricket, that crazy bash league that they've got. They've got AFLW. Like, we, at one time, it was us versus netball, really, or that was the one women's sport we had to watch out for. Now we've got so many other players in the field that it's like we've had 40 years to get it right and still haven't. And now you're in a position that they were in 30 years ago. That scares me, that the great lack of progress, and that's why we BA bash out here, Christy, and that's why you might have when you were a player too. You know, it's because you go, well, what have they done? Why wasn't Rachel Spawner a household name, or Michelle Timms a household name in households other than their own? You know, why weren't they part of campaigns and you know, selling shoes or Kmart or whatever? Like you see with sportswomen from these newer sports, it bothers me when you say we don't have a naming rights sponsor. That's scary.
Very scary. And it bothers me too. You know, it's a necessity, and it's a necessity for bloody hell. You need money to grow, right? And it's very hard to grow without revenue and support, because, you know, sponsors are not just money. There's a whole lot of things that come along with them. So that's part of my remit, along with some others at Basketball Australia that have been brought in around that space. You know, to bring in, you know, we've got to bring in probably at least three majors, naming rights and a couple of majors for the next season. So that'll be that's both of those things, the broadcast rights and deal and the commercial part of the league are the in terms of sustainability and growth. And then off the back of that, you know, there was, there's a whole lot of things in the play, but, you know, league expansion is definitely on the horizon, and you know, I know there's a lot of, everyone has a lot of views about that. I think the really obvious space there is Tasmania, that, you know, are kind of knocking on the door a bit. You know, again, when you're talking about broadcast and commercial, having a truly national league helps in both of those spaces as well.
Sure.
So it kind of all packages in together. And again, like you guys said, we've fallen behind the other professional women's sporting codes in terms of growth in all of those areas. So we've got a shitload of catching up to do, because you're probably right, buddy, if they'd have done it right back in 88, we wouldn't be here.
And see, that's what scares me, is because we always have our fingers crossed that this new person coming in, like, you know, and you can just run through the list, it goes on forever, but this is the person that's going to change things. But even listening to you, there's so much on your plate. There's so much. Where do you start? But before you answer that question, here's a quick one, because Brad's wrapping me up. Paul Maley, where does he's a friend of ours. Where does he fit into the scheme of running the WNBL? I'm just curious as to what his role is in the WNBL's administration.
Yep, I mean, Paul has been involved, as you would know, for many, many years.
The mailman. Love the mailman.
The mailman. Yes. Yeah. Look, he's a great guy. Paul, I actually don't know his exact title. I think he's, executive general manager of basketball and competitions. It's something like that.
And in charge, official in charge of excuses. Yeah.
Yeah, so my role, the WNBL sits as part of that, as part of Paul's team. So Paul, whilst not directly involved in, I suppose, operationally running that league, along with the executive of Basketball Australia, because it's a league that is owned by Basketball Australia, you know, collectively they oversee it.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to know that, because it was just a curiosity to me that
we spoke
recently.
He has been involved much more intricately over the years, due to necessity, I believe, as well. Yep. So how much he'll be involved moving forward. My job is to make that much, much less.
Well, he's going to be involved at the end of the season when he's at the presumably there'll be an MVP dinner and they're handing the award over to Annalee Maley, because she's having a hell of a season.
She's having a cracker.
Christy, yep. I have to say thank you. We spoke during the week, and I was nervous what Boddy was going to do, but he's calmed down. It's okay. It's all right. And we're okay.
You've kept it good, Boddy. It's okay.
I
took three Valium.
Well, that's about six less than he should have. But Christy, thank you. I just love your passion. You could see, and you know, when I spoke to you, you're like, no questions off. And I can tell all our listeners that you said, ask me anything. Doesn't matter what you want, just ask me anything. Love the fact that you came on. You're raw, you're passionate, and look, we're in good hands. And that's all you can ask for. You've got someone in there that, you know, wants to do right by the league. We can't thank you enough. As you know, the podcast that we do, we just want the WNBL to flourish, and you know, whatever we can do to help, that's what we want. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, look, you're very welcome, guys. And look, as I said, I want what you guys want. I think there's a whole lot of people out there that want that, and I may not have all the answers, and I may not, you know, do all the things I want to do, but I'm certainly going to give it a crack. And look, happy to come on and chat anytime. I'm more than happy to, you know, talk about anything you guys want. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Well, that was good. That was good hearing from somebody that's prepared to stand up and say a few things on behalf of the WNBL, because you
love
know
the
I'm disillusioned.
Love the honesty. You know,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fingers crossed. So let's talk NBL and let's just get right into it. Rosen Rattler, what do you got for me?
Jalen Adams. That kid is the real deal. And I know everyone's saying it, but now he's got to be in that contention for MVP. You're probably going to say, well, as if he wouldn't. But no, he's done enough now. You know, he is right up there. He is carrying this team. That is a huge dunk against Brisbane. That's now a massive three against Adelaide.
Oh, like, huge.
Yeah, that's this. And he looks so composed. I don't think I've seen a guard work the on ball like him. Yeah. He is unbelievable. He is my Rattler. He is the real deal.
Yeah, sorry, Kings fans. I love him too.
Don't be sorry, buddy. Don't be sorry. You know,
goes against the grain.
You know, I know it does. I can see it. Oh, he's just holding his chest, people. Yeah. Don't worry. It's okay. Righto, come on. Give me a nasty.
Well, my nice nasty actually follows on from that because he hits this magnificent shot to put him 93-90 up. And Adelaide have 3.5 seconds left to fashion a play. Now, they go into the timeout, they come out, and they're on the worst piece of junk you've ever heard or ever seen, sorry. Daniel Johnson ends up having to just flick a shot at the ring. Even if it had gone in, he's already over the three-point line. It only would have been worth two. It was a disaster. Now, you've said before on the show, Brad, that coaches and teams at this level practice their last 5 seconds.
Cannot believe it.
So they've got something up the sleeve.
Yep.
That was just a disastrous play. And if that's what CJ drew up, I would be shocked. CJ Bruton, the coach, I would be shocked. I think they just ran it with total inefficiency. That was the nastiest thing I saw on the weekend, I must say.
Well, it was crazy. You're 100% right. And did you see Sunday Dech? He sort of like looked and threw his hands up like, well, what happened?
What was that play? I remember one time just quickly when Scott Nellis was coaching the Adelaide 36ers and they had a play and he drew it up. And they came on the floor, and I could see Brett Maher talking to Aaron Bruce at the time. Aaron Bruce obviously had not paid attention and went completely to the wrong place. So I saw them walking out, and Brett's saying to him, no, you're supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be over there. I just said, this isn't going to work.
It's great nasty you're saying because it's true. And each week we talk about certain things like this when teams are in that position. I remember at training, we used to always do that. Right, you're down by three. And you've got X time left, or you're up by. We used to do sometimes. You're up by six, and there's a minute and a half left.
Yeah, game.
You're down by six, and there's a minute. What else? Talk to me. What else did you see on the weekend?
Well, look, I'm curious about the Illawarra team because you know we're all behind them last year. They were everybody's second favourite team last year. If you weren't an Illawarra Hawks fan, in much the same way, I must say that Tasmania Jack Jumpers are this year.
Yeah,
but they've sort of quote improved the lineup unquote. And they've got a lot of American faces in there. And I just don't think those guys bleed for the club in the way that an AJ Ogilvy, an Isaac White, an Emmett Nahr, Dan Greeter, but obviously hurt. Tim Conrad, who's actually getting a bit of time.
He's getting a lot of minutes. Yeah,
these are the guys that are like real Hawks. You know, if you cut them, they're going to bleed Hawk. Whereas I think some of the improvements in the lineup, maybe those guys are looking at their own numbers. And I think this is the biggest challenge that Brian Gorgian's had as an NBL coach is to get this team on the same page in the four. And the first thing I'd be doing is there'd be a player I'd be cutting. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm with you. And I bet you're thinking the same player is Raithan Mays.
Yeah.
He can flat out play. He can put the ball in the hole. I don't think he's helping that team. And just things don't look right. Something's not right. And I agree with you. You look at, you know, he's done this before, Gorsh, and I'm not sure if you're aware. I was assistant with him, but I remember when I was down there.
Jeez.
I got to stop that. I know I do.
I know, because there's going to be balloons and streamers coming from the ceiling.
That was when we won the championship. Boom, boom. But when I, when we did this, I remember there was times that he would play players a lot and not the bench guys that much. But then later towards the end of the year, these guys who have been working their butts off all years, like an Isaac White on the weekend, he comes out and goes bang, bang, bang and had, what, 9, 11 points or whatever he did.
14 minutes.
Right. That's not a shock to a Gorge who's been working him every day with Jacob Jacobanis down there and doing it. So it's no shock to them that he's done that. And that's what I love about Gorge. It's all about getting them ready for playoffs. Not now. It's all about getting them ready. But
they've got to make the playoffs.
And that's where my butt comes. They've got to make it. And just something doesn't look right with that. And I can totally understand what you're saying. And I do agree with
you. That's where your butt comes. Is that what you just said?
That's where my butt comes.
Did you hear yourself?
Did I say that out loud?
Sadly, you did. All right. Now, the other one, I'm a little bit worried about Perth at the minute. That's three they've lost in a row, which I haven't seen.
They look tired.
We saw it in last year's grand final series, obviously, because they were injured and hurt, whatever, players missing. So that doesn't count. Generally speaking, they don't lose two, and they certainly don't lose three in a row. So what I would say is I think Matt Hodgson, even though he got digging into foul trouble as he normally does, he played a very good game for them against South East Melbourne. Did you think the same?
100%. I thought he was really good. I remember when we had Jason Gideon a couple of weeks, and we asked him about Matt Hodgson. He's like, he's a game changer. He was. Yeah. He is playing that really well. And you know what I'm loving? I'm loving when he's going up against the big guys. Like he took it to those boys on the weekend, and I thought, absolutely. And I thought that was. I don't want to say his best game of the season because I think he's had some good ones, but that was outstanding. That was outstanding for him. He honestly made a difference when he was on the court, without a doubt.
Honestly, I can't think of a better one that he's played for Perth. For Perth.
Oh, yeah. We're talking Perth. Look, he's still a 7-footer at the end of the day, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know what I did notice? Hey, you know what I did notice about South East Melbourne? Brandon Ashley, great athlete, smart, does some great things, smart. With his fouls? No, I think he's got a lot of bad habits. Can't help myself.
Bad habits. Okay, that's enough. We're out. All right. I got it. To everyone from the media, thank you so much. To Christy, we really thank you for coming on today. That was absolutely fantastic to have her on from the WNBL. Body, have a fantastic week. Again, happy birthday.
Hang on. Thank you. But when Christy comes to town, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take her down to Burger Boss.
And See you next week.
They want you. They've been bugging me. When's Brad Rosen coming to town? We want to give him a feed. So you better
We might be coming because the Comets are coming to town, and we might be coming to Adelaide for a tournament. Right. And if we do, I'm down to that Burger Boss.
Okay, we're out.
See you next time, everyone. Have a great week.
All right, things are happening. You changed your top four. What's your top four look like right now?
No changing for me. I've still got Melbourne, Perth, Sydney and Illawarra. People think I'm nuts because Phoenix should be in there. No changes for me. What about you?
I've still got Scarlett Johansson, Monica Bellucci, Paz Vega and Gal Gadot.